Welcome to Facilitating the Mission, the podcast of Shepherd Staff Mission Facilitators. My name is Brian Mondock.
And my name is Jeff Jackson.
Hey, Jeff, this is the second installment of you just giving us the facts about refugees. What does God think about refugees?
Well, you know, Brian, that's a really good question, and that's really what I want to focus on in this second podcast in the series. I want to kind of look at the whole understanding refugee resettlement realities. I want to look at it from the lens of the sovereignty of God. I mean, what does the Bible reveal about the God who created all things, including people, and what does it the scripture have to say about his heart, his desire for those that he's created in his image and likeness, but that have rejected him? So I think the place that I want to begin with is that, you know, the condition that humanity lives in, the harm that's being done from one person to another person or groups of people, all of these things, if the God of the Bible is who he says he is, then he's aware of everything that's taking place. And in some way that's very hard for us to understand, he's actually in control. That God is sovereign over his creation. And so he has access to facts, information, outcomes of everything that's ever going to happen by every person in history. And what is actually then happening, he was aware of it's happening before it happened. And he has, because he's sovereign, the capacity to steer the evil that men do, along, of course, with the good, but particularly we're talking about refugees, so we're talking about decisions that are self-focused, that could be categorized as evil, that influence people's lives in a negative way. He's actually sitting at the controls of the universe and actually is capable of using those things for his own glory, and in a, as crazy as it sounds, for the good of other people. Does that kind of make sense?
That makes sense. The most difficult thing to process is what in the world God could possibly be doing while you're in the midst of this happening in the world, in your country, as refugees may or may not be moving into your neighborhood. But is there any kind of biblical example that you can think of where we see God's bigger picture taking place through the movement of humanity or the migrations of people or families?
Well, you know, I like to begin actually, and this is, I'm going to get a little theological here, but that's kind of the subject matter. If you think about the question that most missionaries have to answer, which is a really important question to be able to answer, did God know when he created Adam and Eve that they would reject him, rebel against him, and that he would have to give his son's life to redeem mankind to himself? In other words, did God know people were going to sin? Yes. Okay, if he knew that, then why would he permit them? Why would he create them knowing that it was going to drive a division between the Father and the Son, that the Son would have to step into the world he created and die at the hands of those he created? Why?
That is a question way above my pay grade.
Well, it's above my pay grade too. But the way I see that is the fullness of who God is on display by sin. In other words, God's permission of sin entering into his creation was, in a sense, the mechanism or the door by which the fullness of his character is on display. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, we know prior to the fall, that prior to Adam and Eve's rejection of God, that God could create something from nothing, that he was all powerful. We knew that he's very smart. He created a whole system, a solar system. He created everything that exists on the earth, all of our internal organs, everything. We know that God is incredibly powerful. He's incredibly smart. We know that he knows everything, but what don't we know? Well, we don't know that he's graceful. We don't know that he's merciful. We don't know that he's patient. We don't know that he's long-suffering. Now, he is all of those things. That's who he is in the essence of his being. But there's no mechanism, in a sense, for those things to be unleashed, for those attributes of God to be put on display. Well, as crazy as it is, when Adam and Eve sin, now the fullness of God's character is on display. He goes right into the garden seeking to save those who are lost. Well, now we know he's merciful. He's not giving them what they deserve. We now know that he's graceful. In fact, he's revealing a plan to them to restore them back to relationship with himself. They certainly don't deserve that. So it's a unmerited gift from God. And we know that he's patient. We know that he's long-suffering. So as crazy as it is, the evil that exists in the world that God permits to happen, in a sense, is the doorway or the on-ramp through which the fullness of God's character can flow outward and be on display. Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy. And to take it a step further, what amazes me is that once a person is redeemed, God includes that person in the redemption of other people.
It is. That's crazy. I wouldn't let me represent myself. I mean, you know, but God chooses to let you and let me be his representatives to reveal him to other people. It's crazy.
I think that brings us back to the perfect place to start discussing refugees again, because those that represent Jesus now have tremendous opportunity in the world around us that's so broken.
Absolutely. So again, the evil that men do, the sinfulness that God could stop from happening, but he permits to happen, men's expression of their character and the evil bent that is in all of us, although we're not evil all the time, we're all capable of incredible evil, that is the doorway for those that know God to reveal his character to those people that are suffering the consequences of the nature that's in opposition to God and other people. And so I think for me, when you look at the refugee situation and what it actually is, it's basically in its fullest expression, the refugee situation demonstrates the character of God and his willingness to love those who really don't deserve to be loved, and the character of man who, with all the goodness God has lavished upon them, chooses to continue to be selfish and do harm to one another. And in the midst of all that taking place, there are a group of people that know God and have been redeemed through his Son that are to be his vessels of reconciliation, his practical expressions of love and kindness towards those that have suffered at the hands of others. And refugees are kind of at the top of that list.
One of the things that I think of that immediately comes to mind is something that you discussed in the previous podcast, which you can link back to on our website. But you just talked about how Christians throughout the past century, definitely going back to World War II, Christians were on the forefront of helping those that were, you know, running from war, looking to be resettled because they're displaced. Those were the ones that we call heroes today.
Yeah, we call them heroes. And the Christians were the one, you know, during the bubonic plague and all these other disease issues that have plagued the globe globally. You know, they're the ones that go in and minister to the people that are suffering the effects of living in a fallen world because men are in opposition to God. So Christians are on the forefront of that. And the refugees, the issues that are going on today with refugees are just the latest example of this amazing opportunity that God puts before his people to display his character toward people that are undeserving of that kind of love, that kind of commitment. But because he's graceful and we've tasted of his grace, we're going to be graceful to those that, you know, we may not think are deserving of it, but they are, because they're created in his image and likeness.
That's such a good way to look at it, and it's such an exhortation, I think, for Christians to rightly represent God, you know, be representatives of God's sovereignty, even though we don't understand it, even though it may bring sacrifice in our lives. There's something that we can do to help ease the suffering of others.
Yes, and I think what's important, let me just kind of share a couple of sort of summary thoughts regarding the issue of refugees. First of all, and again, I could give all the scripture references for this, but it would take up too much time. The idea is that, look, God created mankind. Mankind rebelled against him. Ethnic and linguistic diversity, the different languages, ethnicities, and cultures that exist on the planet, it was God's design from eternity for man to exist with diverse languages, diverse cultures, diverse ethnicities. That's what the Bible teaches. And so what happens is when these different groups of people, ethnically, linguistically the same, live in locations, they don't interact with people that are not like them very well. And yet God is glorified by bringing unity from diversity. So part of what Paul says in Acts chapter 17, which is kind of reflecting the truth of Psalm 86:9, in Acts 17:26, at the Areopagus, Paul says that God has created all of the ethnic groups that exist on the planet from one common source, Adam and Eve. He has preappointed when they would exist on the planet and where they would live at. And so part of what we need to view the refugee situation through is what I call and what others call a theology of migration, that people from different cultures and languages, ethnicities, and even religions that are being mobilized and shipped around the globe, either voluntarily or involuntarily because their life is in danger, that mixing of the pot is all by God's sovereign design, because all of those people need to see the great value in other cultures and other languages. And in the midst of that are his people with his truth, giving him worshipers from every people, tribe, nation, and tongue. And it's not just a small group of people doing it only over there. They have the opportunity now to bring people to surrender to their God from different languages, cultures, and religions right here in their own neighborhoods, because God's permitted them to come into our neighborhoods in his sovereignty.
That is such an amazing way to look at it. You know, on the surface, and as I said earlier, as you're walking through it, it seems like chaos.
But yes.
If the Christian could steel his heart and seek God for what bigger thing he may be doing, it's amazing to see what God will actually do through the submitted lives of Christians.
Yeah, and so to kind of wrap up this podcast, I think the view that I navigate by, the grid that I run these things through, is A, God is sovereign. He's in control of all things. He's sitting at the control panel of the universe. He can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants, however he wants, anytime he wants. And so because he's sovereign, he has the ability to keep refugees from coming in and living among us. If he has the ability to do that and he chooses to not exercise that ability, it means that he wants these refugees to come in and live among us. But his motivation in doing that is to give us the opportunity to represent him to people that we would have no access to, and many of them in their own countries would have no access to his own people, because they live in these countries that it's hard to get into and tell people about him. So now he's brought them into our neighborhood. So God is sovereign. He could keep them out. If they've come in, he's permitted them to come in. What should our response to that be?
Yeah, our response should be open, represent Jesus, heal the wounded, you know, care for the sick. That's our response.
That is our response. And in fact, that's kind of a good segue into what we're going to cover on the next podcast, where I want to take a look in the next podcast at the refugee situation, not just through the sovereignty of God lens that we just talked about, but I want to look at it through the lens of the kingdom of God, what God was doing when he established his kingdom here on earth in the midst of every country and nation, and the purpose of God's people on this planet. So let's cover that in the next one. How's that sound?
Sounds great. Thanks for the perspective, and look forward to what you're going to talk with us about next.
All right. Thanks, Brian.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. To learn more about becoming a missionary with Shepherd Staff, go to ssmfi.org/join. Connect with us on Facebook or Twitter by searching @ShepStaff on either platform.